This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for today is a message that was first published back in September of the year 2002. This happens to be February of the year 2024. So we're talking about almost 21 and a half years or so ago. I could just round it out and just say 22, but you know, about 21 and a half years or so ago. And the reason why I give you these dates is because sometimes during these messages I will be mentioning certain persons, places, or things, or events that took place during the time that this message was published that may or may not be relevant today. And if I come across it, I will give you a heads up on it. But at the same time, let me say this: when it comes to the Word of God, it is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, today, and if the Lord tarries, 6,000 years from now, His Word will still be relevant. And a person would do well to take heed to it, if they're exposed to it, to take heed to it and adjust their lives according to it. Now, having said that, our subject scripture is taken from the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter number 22 and verse number 7. And as I said, this is for September of the year 2002. And we'll find these words recorded: "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The subject for this message: dying to be a slave. Dying to be the slave, be a slave. Of all the words in any language, there are few that can come close to being as repugnant to men as the word slave. Slavery carries with it the idea that a man is not his own person, but rather he is the property of someone else. This someone else has total control over him. He must do whatever this person tells him, no matter what it is or what time it is. He is not allowed to think for himself. He can only eat what this person gives him to eat. It makes no difference what it is. He must eat it or starve. If he chooses not to eat, then he will be too weak to do his work and will be punished for it. The life of a slave is no life at all. He can be bought and sold at the whim of someone else. He can, if his owner deems it, be killed and nothing can be done about it. he may be allowed to have a wife, but usually only the wife that is picked for him. The only reason for this convenience is to propagate children that they will grow up to be slaves as well. That's right. The slave's family are in the same boat he is in. This process serves to make the master richer. The slave has no say as to who his master was or whether he wanted to be a slave. Most men became slaves as the result of someone or some nation conquering them and forcing them into servitude or slavery. I am saying all of this to show you just how bad slavery is. I use the term is because in other countries it is still going on and is legal. Thank God that in this country it was abolished. Now let me make a note here and say this. It was abolished on paper, but there are whole communities, primarily the black community, that even though they believe they are free, they go around and celebrate their freedom and claim about all the rights and things they have, but they're still slaves, and they don't know it. I'll talk about that in some other message. That's not necessarily this message, but let's go on further in the message. However, every day, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, voluntarily put themselves into the slave market and literally end up destroying themselves and their families. How? Through credit or debt. That's right. Debt. Debt was another form of access in the slavery market. Through the process of borrowing, a man could put himself in the position of a slave. He would borrow something, and if he was an honorable person, would sign a legal document swearing to pay back to the lender what he had borrowed with interest. If he kept up the agreement and paid off the loan or the debt, the contract was fulfilled. If, on the other hand, he was unable to make the payments, he lost his property, and or had to become a servant to the person that he owed until the debt was satisfied. Through the act of borrowing, a person could obtain much needed items of food, clothing, medicine, and supplies to make life bearable. What the person counted on to pay back the lender was his ability to make enough money or perform enough services to complete the contract. However, borrowing was a risk, and the more a person got into debt, the bigger the risk. If something went wrong, say for instance the man got sick or injured, or his goods and services were no longer needed, his income dropped, and he might end up losing everything to the borrower. And if the borrower wasn't satisfied with what the man had, he would take the man, a member of his family, or the whole family as slaves and either have them work for him or sell them to someone else, and the man and his family would have to work off the price that that person paid for them plus interest. It was a vicious cycle. Today, that same cycle still exists, but has become a little less treacherous, yet it still has the same results, in that a person becomes a slave, and the ramifications could put his family at risk, all because of borrowing, or the new name we use, credit. As I mentioned earlier, a person got into debt because of absolute necessity. Today, people get into debt for much less reasons. They do it because they want things that they see other people with. It's called keeping up with the Joneses. They do it because they want to outdo someone else. They do it because of pride. They do it because they can. All of these things lead people into slavery to other men, businesses, and even the government, and most of them don't realize it. Credit, though useful, can lead people down that ever-increasing slippery slope into absolute destruction, not only of themselves, but their families. This is why God gave Solomon this passage of Scripture to write down. It lets us know of the ramifications of what we are getting into. God is letting us know that borrowing of any kind makes the borrower beholden to the lender. And the lender, through interest, or what the Bible calls usury, always makes more money. The mentality of a lot of people is to try to get something that they can't afford. They may have a job that pays them $2,500 a month, $2,500 a month. After taxes, they may clear $2,300 a month. After rent or mortgage, utilities, food, clothing, and other household necessities, and maybe some entertainment, that leaves them with, let's say, $400 a month. They have that much money to save or buy something extra each month. Now, good stewardship of this money would mean that they put it somewhere where it can make money for them. So let's say they put it in a bank. Banks usually pay 2-4% interest per year. Well, I don't know, I don't keep track of what the interest thing is now, because you got to remember I was saying this back in 2002. I don't keep track of what it is today, but I don't even think it's quite that high. But let's say, for instance, it's still the same. But anyway, that means after a year, a person will earn about $120 because the $4,800 for the year's savings was not all in the bank for a year, but was deposited over 12 months. In other words, I'm just throwing numbers out there just to show you what how the interest would go over a period of time after, you know, the person saved up $4,800. At the end of 1 year, they would get $120 on top of that, you know, which would make about $4,920 or something like that, you know. But it's something that's a good investment. Anyway, back to the message. Now, logically, a person knowing that they have $400 a month to buy what they want, if they pay cash for it, would be limited to items whose total price with taxes came to $400. But this is bad thinking if you are not saving money for emergencies that are sure to come up. Now, here is where the problem comes in. In order to have money for emergencies, a person saves money in a bank. Sometimes it'd be better to put it in a bank, but some people just keep the money in their house. But if you put it in the bank, naturally you're going to draw interest on it. Keep it in the house, then that's all you're just going to have is what you squirrel away in the house. But let's say you save and put that money in the bank, but you still want that item that you've seen, and let's say it's a car. A car is a necessity, and it costs enough money that after you make your down payment on the car note is $300 a month. Then you tack on insurance, and that comes to $100 a month. The same things apply. You have no money for emergencies. This is, you know, I'm talking about people that are getting into short-term debt or something to buy a car, which is a necessity. Now, but anyway, what needs to happen is that you find a car that costs maybe $1,500 or less, pay cash for it, and just get no-fault insurance for $100 or so, and save yourself from being indebted to some company for 3 or more years. But many of us don't think like that. We have to have a shiny new car with all the extras, and that is where we get into trouble. One thing you have to know is all cars basically do the same thing. They take you where you want to go and bring you back. That means that is all you really need. It is possible to get a real cheap car that will take you back and forth until you can save up enough money to pay a larger down payment on a more expensive car to get a smaller monthly payment. That's a possibility. You know, you get a smaller car, cheaper car or something, and drive it around until you get enough money to make a larger down payment on the car to decrease the note, or basically keep the smaller car until such time as it breaks down or something, and go out and buy another cheaper car. You know, all for the same purpose of saving money. Now, when I first got hired at Chrysler, I needed transportation to get to and from work, seeing that I had received my first paycheck. I borrowed some money from a friend and bought an 11-year-old car that cost, now get this, $25. Now, this was back in 1971 when this took place. I don't think you, if you found a car for $25 in this year, 2024, you must be buying it for parts or something like that. And I don't know what part would you be buying it for, because the parts would cost more money than that. So basically, that wouldn't be anything to even be considered anyway. It ran good after I had a tune-up and an oil change on it, which the owner said it needed, because he didn't use the car anymore, and he had it sitting in his garage, and he knew I needed a car, so I got the car. Now, that car lasted me for several years. $25 car lasted me 3 or 4 years. Probably would have lasted me longer than that, but the transmission went out on it after it was towed away. Somebody thought that the car was a junk car because it was so old, and the junk people come around and towed the car away to the junkyard and things. When I went to get it and tried to drive it off of the lot after I paid them for towing the car, they had messed up the transmission by the way they towed the car. There's a right way and a wrong way to tow a car to keep from messing up the transmission, and the people thinking it was just a junk car, they didn't care about how they towed it, and they towed it and messed the car up. So that was that. Anyway, over that time I had established credit after buying a house and began to realize that I could get all sorts of things, seeing that I was working at a secure job at Chrysler. That is when I got stupid. Realizing the power that I had, I started charging everything right and left. Clothes, jewelry, appliances for the house. I bought a new car. It wasn't new, it was a car that was a year old. But I bought a new car and another used car for my wife. The bills were coming in and I paid them no problem at all. Then it happened. Massive layoffs in the late 70s with Chrysler nearly going bankrupt. All of a sudden, I couldn't make the payments on the house and the other things for which I had credit. I hadn't saved much during those years, so when the bill collector started calling, I gave them what I had. Then I had to file bankruptcy. We lost the house and had to start renting again until someone allowed me to purchase their house with them financing it for us. That was known as a land contract. The reason I am telling you this story is to show you what experience has shown me and how it aligns with the Word of God. Credit if used wisely, can be a blessing. But if it's misused, it can be a curse. Here's how. Credit wasn't all that easy to get back in the early 70s, even if you had a good job. Today, the total opposite is true. Credit companies seeking to make big money are literally giving credit to anybody, whether they have a job or not. Why? To make money. How? By charging high interest rates. The higher a risk you are, the higher the interest rate you will pay. That means more money for them. They, in competition with each other, are literally sending pre-approved applications to all sorts of people, including students in high school. There have been some rare occasions where junior high students have gotten them as well. Credit card companies are playing on that one characteristic nature that we all have, and that is covetousness, wanting what we see other people with. So we sign on the dotted line without reading the fine print and looking at the minimum monthly payment they say you will be paying and saying, "I can pay that easily." What you don't realize is that minimum payment doesn't even pay the finance charges per month. If you get the card up to the limit approved, so in essence, you end up getting further and further into debt and have to work harder to pay the bill. When you can't meet the payments, the phone calls start, then the repossession and the garnishments. Now, you and your family are suffering and you try to hold on to what you have, so you get a second job or your spouse has to get one, not because they want to, but because they have to. That, my friend, is slavery. Anytime you have to work when you don't want to, or have to get family members to work when they don't want to, that is slavery. Slavery that you have put your own self and your family into. And it gets worse. People work long hours and many years past the time that they could retire because they can't afford to take a rest. They need the overtime and that big paycheck. So they risk their health as well as their family relationships just so that they can have things. Then they get attached to those things that the thought of losing them is sheer torture, so they keep working and working until they drop and can't work anymore or they are dead. That is slavery, my friend. In other words, there are people today that have worked past the time of retirement. You know, they could retire, they got enough years and so forth. But if they sit down and figure out how much money they owe creditors and so forth, and they figure out what their pensions might be and what Social Security might pay them, and that's not enough money, so what they have to do is they have to keep on working. Anyway, let's get back to the message. Then when they can't make the payment, then the family has to make them if they want to keep them. People will do everything possible to keep their things and their credit. They are like the monkey that sees an apple in a jar and reaches in to get it. The only problem is, with it in his hand, he can't get his hand out. So he runs around with his hand stuck in the bottle and won't let go. If he is in danger, he will try to climb a tree with just one hand free. He will not let go of that apple. He, in effect, handicaps himself. He is a prisoner or slave to his own ways and desires. Meanwhile, the one providing the credit is sitting back somewhere, relaxing and getting richer by the minute, because some weak individuals, driven by covetousness, are doing everything they can to get under his control. It is no wonder that God said in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." God saw this mess back then, and look at all the trouble we have because we think we can get around this important commandment. But every time, we end up eating crow, big time. How much debt do you have? How many things do you have that you really don't need? Are you splurging and charging things just because you can? Are you constantly getting offers from credit cards with real low payments and low interest rates? Be careful. You could be getting yourself into a whole lot of trouble. If you can, pay cash for everything you buy. Put things in the layaway and pay a little each week until you pay it off. You and your family will be a lot better off in the long run. The choice, my friend, is yours. Well, that's the end of this message, and I hope that you got something from it. Like I say, we go all out of our ways to basically put ourselves into bondage to the banks, to credit institutions, and to people or whoever it might be that we owe money to because we borrowed something from them to get something that we wanted that we probably really didn't need, but because we saw somebody else with it, we had to have something just like it or even something better. And then we go out and put ourselves into all this debt and things. And as I mentioned earlier in the message here, we don't have any money for emergencies. You go out and get yourself into debt, and then some emergency comes up and then you ain't got no money. Then you go out and try to get some money and can't do it. Lose your job or something like that, or even if you got a job and it's not paying you enough money for you to deal with the bills that you're paying and then and dealing with this emergency too, that's not a good thing. That's a foolish thing. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12 and Proverbs 16 and verse 25, both of these scriptures say the exact same thing, and that is, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's a true statement. Death does not necessarily mean physical death. It does mean that, but it can also mean a loss, or, you know, putting yourself in a predicament where you end up with less than what you started out with. Anything that decreases your, what they call it, your net worth or something like that, or your reliability, or where people can trust you for, if they loan you some money, you pay them back. Anything that's going to cost you to decrease in those areas is basically death to you in those areas. And there are far too many people that are getting into far too much debt because of covetousness. Seeing somebody else with something and you gotta have it too, or you gotta have something better. It's time out for that mess. And I say, you work your fingers to the bone just so you can have all that stuff and keep it. And then when it comes time for you to try to retire, you can't do it. So you end up working yourself until you work yourself into your grave. And a lot of times you work yourself into a grave earlier than would be a normal thing, because of all of the worry and stuff like that. Your blood pressure goes up, your nerves are shot, and like I'm saying, you overworking yourself, can't relax or anything else like that, because you constantly trying to make money to pay these bills. That's no way to live life. That's not the way God meant for you to have that type of life. The type of life he had for you to have was joy, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the type of life that he wants you to live, but you can't do that if you got all this stress on you and things like that. Well, that's the end of this message, and as usual, in closing, this is Evangelist George McTyre saying, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together next time for another message. Good day.